Welcome back to the podcast, you beautiful soul. We're doing a Q&A today. So I've put out to my community to ask some questions that they want some help with. And I'm also live right now on Instagram and TikTok at the time of recording this. So if any more questions come through, I'll rip into it. Guys, if you want to have access to this type of free coaching, join my Instagram channel. So go to Instagram, go to my profile. There's a channel there called Free Coaching. Join that because I actually post in there quite frequently. I post almost every single day into it. And I also put out requests like this saying, hey, what problems do you have? What do you want help with? What questions do you have? And I love answering questions. So yeah, I've got about 10 or 11 questions to get through. So I'm going to be pretty quick. I'm going to answer the ones that are live on the video with me right now because they're here with me right now. And we're going to get into it. Before I do, guys, if you can subscribe to the podcast, wherever you're watching it, whether it's on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever platform you're watching, that would be awesome. Let's get into it. So first question. The best way to get through a trauma bond. Recently divorced, but he keeps making things look like things will work out, even saying we can get remarried again. Help. So how do you get through a trauma bond? Look, at the end of the day, the way I live life, and there's four rules to suffering. So listen to these four rules and write these four rules down. Number one is you expect yourself to live outside of your own values. So you expect yourself to be someone else. That's the first rule. Second rule is you expect someone else to live outside of their values and live inside of your values. So you expect someone to be someone that they're not, or to live under the rules and expectations that you've come up with. And sorry, I didn't get the memo that you're the ruler of the universe. The third one is to expect yourself to live with unrealistic expectations. And number four is to expect someone else to live with unrealistic expectations. Now, what does that mean? It's like, you expect someone to always be happy, never be sad, to always be positive, never be negative, to just be, quote, perfect with only upsides. That doesn't exist, right? It's like if you expect to start a business and make $1 billion in your first week, it's probably not going to happen, and because it's just unrealistic. So you want to have fair, reasonable expectations on yourself and on others. So the way I would tackle that question of how to get through a trauma bond is to take care of yourself. You can't force someone else to heal their stuff, because a trauma bond, for the way I view a trauma bond, and some people might view this differently, is people have their own traumas, which we all do. We've all got our version of trauma or wounds or whatever you want to call it. And your compensation for that trauma, so say you felt like you weren't seen, then you always want to feel seen and feel validated from your partner, and that can play up as a coping mechanism for the trauma. And then you attract your opposites, because in relationships you attract the person who mirrors your unhealed wounds, and therefore the compensation that you have and the compensation your partner has builds a bit of a bond. It's like sort of the anxious attachment and the avoidant attachment coming together. So I guess where I'm getting with this question is, I would focus on your own healing, because you can't control someone else. You can't get this other person who says that he keeps making things look like things will work out, even saying we can get remarried. It's like, let him live his life and you live your life. And what I mean by that, what's your vision? What do you love? What's a life on your terms? What does the vision for your relationship look like? What are your expectations? What are your non-negotiables? And what do you truly inspire to have out of a relationship, making sure it's without unrealistic expectations? Again, if you expect your partner to always be sexually available, to never get sick, to always be happy, to always be giving, to always be positive, that's not going to happen. But if your partner is not working on their stuff, not doing their healing work, or they're just not the right fit for you, then I would just take control of your healing, heal through your trauma to take away the trauma bond that you're creating, because it takes two to tango, and you heal through dissolve your coping mechanisms because you've healed through your stuff, and then let him decide what he wants to do. Because at the end of the day, this is the pill that not many people like to swallow, is that you get in life what you tolerate. So if you're tolerating a relationship which is just a huge trauma bond after trauma bond after trauma bond, and it's very unhealthy and very toxic relationship, the reality is that's your creation and you've decided to get into that, maybe unconsciously or hopefully consciously now. And if you're allowing it, it means you're okay with it. It's like if my partner came home today and just was like really pissed off and really upset and whatever happened, it's like depending to the degree, but say she came home and she started smoking really hectic drugs and doing, like, I'm not a smoker, couldn't be with a smoker, and there's no judgment to people that are smokers. But if she started like smoking cigarettes, she started doing hardcore drugs, she started eating really poor food and started really not looking after herself. Obviously, I'd be there to support and help her and guide her and help her work through what's happening. But at some point, there's a line in the sand where it's like, you know what? You're choosing not to participate in your own rescue. This is not for me. And you've got to have those boundaries. And some people, oh my God, it sounds so harsh. Yes, it is. That's my life. And if you get in life what you tolerate. So if you're tolerating your partner not working on their stuff and not healing through their trauma, which is creating them to create a trauma bond, then you're putting up with it. So take control of what you have control over, which is you can heal through your stuff. So keep healing through your stuff. And then invite this person to say, hey, look, I love you and I've loved the experience I've had and I would love to be with you. However, here are my concerns. You don't heal through your stuff. Our trauma bonds are shit. This X, Y, Z, A, B, C. Are you willing to work through those? Yes or no? And no one's perfect. That's where you want to guide them, support them, love them, hold space for them. But if they're choosing not to change, they're choosing to stay the same. That would be my answer to that question. So I hope that answered your question, my friend. Next question. How do you get over someone cheating? We're apart and trying to heal. I guess a similar answer is take control of what you have. Your trauma is your trauma. Your wounds are your wounds. And trauma is just a perception. It's just the way you've viewed something. Nothing in life is, quote, traumatic. It's the perception and the meaning we put upon it which makes it traumatic. Two people can go through the exact same thing. One person can be totally okay with it and at peace with it. Another person can have a traumatic reaction and a coping mechanism because of it. The only difference is the perception and the meaning that we place upon that event. So for yourself, it's learning to heal. It's seeing the balance and the next question is healing inner child trauma. So it seems to be a lot of healing on this Q&A, which is fantastic. It's my favorite topic. So I'll dive into that question, which will probably help with this question as well. But you just got to find your way to heal. Like I had a coaching session this week with one of my beautiful clients. Where are we going with that? And there was this person that, where was I going with that? She's got like this sort of situationship. And this person that she used to be with, but they're not together, but he'll randomly send her messages saying like, hey, I miss you. I want to get back together, like months apart. And the short version of the story is she was looking for closure from him. But that's literally saying my life is dependent on something external from me. Why do you need, quote, closure from someone else? Because you don't have control over that. That's expecting someone else to live in your values. That's expecting someone else to live the way you think they should. You think they should give you closure. According to who? According to you. I didn't realize you're the ruler of the fucking universe. So it's like she's trying to live her life and take control of her life by hoping that someone else will do something that she hopes they will do. What a shit way to live life. I can't be happy unless someone does something I want them to do. So how to get over someone who's cheated? Find your way of healing. I've got several ways. That's kind of the specialist that I see myself as. Bruce Lee uses the term, there's no ultimate martial art, only the ultimate martial artist who knows every martial art and knows how to combine them and weave them and pick from them at the right time, at the right place to get the result. That's how I see personal transformation or healing, where I have many modalities to heal. And there's many more out there that I haven't even tried yet. I'm on the mission to explore them, to experience them, to learn them, to teach them. So find your way of healing. There's so many ways you can do sound healing, Reiki healing, therapy. I'm going to segue this into the next question because it's called healing inner child trauma. So to sort of change now to this question, I've done a podcast on this. I think it's around episode 250 or maybe 248 or 249 or give or take. It's around there. And it's called Inner Healing. What the fuck does it mean and how do you do it? So I go into detail on this for about, I think, 20 minutes. But there's many modalities to heal. So trauma, it has different definitions depending who you're talking to. The one that I subscribe to the most, it's when you experience a high level of threat or danger or perceived danger and you have a high inability to protect yourself. So it's like a little baby gets abandoned from their parents, even though the child gets lost in the supermarket and can't find mom or dad, and the kid's 2 years old, 3 years old. That could be traumatic for someone. For a child that old, it's probably not going to be traumatic for someone who's 20 years old, hopefully not. But it's just the perceived threat that it can be too much, too soon, too frequently. That can also create a, quote, trauma. There's a book behind me called You're Not Broken by Dr. Sarah Woodhouse. And she talks about things are only traumatic if you have a traumatic reaction to it. So if you have a coping mechanism or you have a reaction that is set off by a trigger, then you have a trauma. Like I was saying before, two people can go through the exact same thing. One person can create, quote, a trauma. One person won't. And what determines that? That's a good question. I don't have the answer to that question. Why is someone more susceptible and, I guess, vulnerable to something to be traumatic versus someone else? I'm not sure. Maybe biologically speaking, upbringing, heritage, I'm not sure. So that, long story short, that's trauma. That's the way I view things. And then it's finding your ways to heal through it. So just to list off some, go watch that full episode on my podcast. Like I said, it's around 250, give or take. Have a look through there. But these are, I'll mention the ones I know of and the ones that I've tried. NLP. So I've done NLP as a client, and I'm also trained in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming and neuro-linguistic coaching. Timeline therapy, I've experienced it and I've trained in it as well. Timeline therapy, I've trained in it and been a student of it. Life coaching, that's very broad because it depends what the life coach is using, what tools and modalities that they're doing. Breathwork, I've been a student of breathwork and I've signed up to become a facilitator next year. So that's another tool that I'll be adding into my toolkit. Dr. John DeMartini, his DeMartini facilitating process. I've been a student of it. I've learned it and I've also signed up to become a facilitator next year. Reiki healing. I'm currently a student of a Reiki healer. I'm working with a Reiki healer and she's helped me heal some of my traumas further, which is fantastic. Obviously, traditional therapy is one. I've experienced it in very small doses from time to time. I didn't really get too much out of therapy, and that's no knock on therapy. It just wasn't the modality for me. It's kind of just like talking and reaffirming the problem, not actually healing and processing and integrating the quote problem or the trauma. They're just some. There's sound healing. I've also experienced that. I'm not trained in that. That's not probably my flavor of healing. And plant medicine, psychedelics. I'm a big, big fan of psychedelics. I'm a student of psychedelics. I'm not a teacher of it because it's kind of illegal in a lot of countries. But find the right shaman, find the right environment, find the right healer to facilitate you through that process. I've done a lot of healing through psychedelic experiences, through plant medicine. You can do things like journaling, like meditating, through stillness, through grounding. There's so many ways to heal trauma. So the question or topic was healing inner child trauma or inner child trauma. So when you hear like inner child trauma or inner child work, it's the same thing. It's just healing trauma from when you were a child. That's all it means. So I hope that I kind of combined two questions in one then. So I hope that answered your question. I'm just going to have a quick scroll through and see any more live questions. I got another one. My ex told me he loved me and then he said that he only wanted it to be true. How do I heal from that? Again, a similar sort of theme of this whole Q&A right now is find your way of healing. It might be someone like me. I can certainly facilitate a lot of healing. It's not, again, I'm not the only person that does that. There's millions of people that do that. Find someone that you feel connected with, that you align with, that you feel inspired with, that you can be vulnerable with, and do your work and just heal through it. You have no control over what he does or what he does or doesn't do. Take control of what you have control over, which is your own healing journey, okay? So find your way of healing. How do you get someone to respect and accept your no? I've already said no and they keep trying to persuade me to change my mind. Set a boundary. Just like literally block them, delete their number, block their number. If you need to get to the degree of getting fucking police involved and getting a restraining order, do that. But yeah, again, what you get in life, what you tolerate. So if you're tolerating this and you haven't really set that real firm boundary, then yeah, just be really firm. You get in life what you tolerate. How do you build self-esteem? That's a great question. So self-esteem. So this is what sort of comes to my mind off the cusp is your level of self-worth is based on the amount of parts of yourself that you've learned to love and integrate. So a lot of people, shame only has power, or guilt or shame or negative emotions only have power or weight to it because of the shame we place upon it. Like, it only has power because there's darkness there. We're trying to suppress and neglect and not integrate parts of who we are because there's shame about it. It's like people that have done, quote, bad things. They've fucked up. They've done things they're not proud of. And there's shame attached to it. And it's the shame that gives it power. So for me, there's a couple of steps I do with self-esteem. Now, I use self-esteem, self-worth, self-love, confidence, or interchangeably. They're all kind of the same thing. They're all kind of cousins of each other. So the steps I take someone through with self-worth, firstly, understanding who you authentically are. You'll never feel great or feel whole trying to be number two of someone else. That was what I was saying before. expecting yourself to live outside of your own values. Know your values and fucking live to them. Now, if you're asking, well, I don't know what my values are, or if you think you do, and most people don't who haven't actually done a proper training on them, go to my podcast, episode 200. It's a free training, step by step. I would watch the video because I actually share my screen and take you through the process. And it's a free training. It's absolutely free. Go on YouTube, Lewis Huckstep 200. It should come up, or 200 values. It should come up. It's a free training. It's got over almost 1,000 views, which is awesome. And it's literally a free training on determining what your values are. So know what your values are and then schedule them into your calendar. Show me your calendar. I will show you your future. If you're not scheduling in time for you to prioritize you and fill your cup up so you can fill other people's cups up, then you're going to feel shit. Low self-worth is feedback that you're not prioritizing what's most meaningful to you. Right now, it's a Saturday. It's 12:10 p.m. on a Saturday. So it's midday on a Saturday. I'm in my office filming a podcast right now. Some people are out at the beach. Some people are having a drink. Some people are working, whatever it may be. I'm inspired to do this. My highest value is coaching. I love coaching. It's like drugs to me. I love it. I can't get enough of it. So, well, I can. I do have my limits as well. But I love it. I do content. You guys, obviously, if you're following me, you probably can tell I love coaching. I'm building a coaching business. It inspires me. My purpose is to heal and expand consciousness. And I love it. And I do it all the time because I love it. So you get clear on what your values are and you schedule them into your calendar. And when you be who you authentically are, you feel fucking great and your self-esteem is through the roof. So hope that answered your question. Next question. How do you react to someone who thinks they're better than you? Well, if they're acting in like a condescending way and they're overstepping boundaries, I'll firstly hold them accountable, set a boundary and let them know the consequences. Hey, if you keep treating me like this and doing X, Y, Z, I'm just letting you know that I don't tolerate that behavior anymore and I'm willing to walk away from this relationship. So be fucking super real and super brutal about it and be honest about it. However, there's sort of a catch 22 to this. Remember this line, write this one down if you've got a pen and paper or really play this one back a couple of times. Nothing triggers you. Things only reveal what's inside of you. I'll say another line that sort of says the same thing. Words only hurt you to the level that you already believe them yourself. So if someone in these words, and I'm hypothetically speaking here, I might not be right, but maybe there's some truth to this, is someone, if your perception is that someone thinks they're better than you, there may or may not be an underlying wound within you around you feeling like you're not enough. Because there's another line that I love using, is that you don't see the world the way it is, you see the world the way you are. Because let's use an example. Say you've had a lot of trauma and wounds around men. You're a woman and you've had a lot of pain around men, which there has been a lot of that in the global consciousness of the world. And for all of my sisters and all my beautiful women and feminine out there, I really apologize for the way men have acted in fucking so long. And my mission is very much to turn that around a little bit. That's why a lot of my audience are women. I'm very much not feminist. I don't like using the term feminist, but I'm just here to heal. And a lot of the healing generally comes from women for now. Definitely men are starting to come through my world as well. Anyways, not the point. But say you're a woman and you've had a lot of wounds and pain around men and you haven't healed through that trauma and now you've downloaded a belief that all men are assholes. So let's play this out. You've been through pain with men. You've had, quote, narcissistic men, and I don't believe in narcissist, if I said that right. I don't believe there is such thing as a narcissist. I've done a full podcast on that. I think it's like 252, give or take, 250, again, give or take. We have narcissistic traits and some people demonstrate those traits more than others. Anyways, go watch that podcast. Anyways, let's continue. So you've got a belief that all men are assholes because they've hurt you. You've got wounds from the masculine. You have wounds from men. And then you meet a genuine guy. You meet a genuine man, a healed man, an embodied man. And he starts being really nice to you, really caring to you. But you've had so many fucking wounds and hurt from men, from the masculine. In your head, what do you start asking yourself? What's he trying to do? Where's the catch? What, he probably only wants to fuck me and have sex with me. Like, there's all of these things coming up because you're trying to prove that belief to be true. So again, there's two sides to that coin. One, set a boundary. So to come back to this question, if someone's acting like they're to someone who thinks they're better than you, I would ask, what's making you say that? Are they actually saying, hey, you're a piece of shit and I'm better than you? I wouldn't tolerate that behavior. I think that's poor behavior and I would set a boundary, not tolerate that. Or if they're just being who they are, but you believe that you're not enough and you're insignificant, you're a piece of shit and you're whatever it may be. And I'm being real brutal with my words right now because this is how people talk. But you've got a limiting belief within you, a restraint within you, then they might just be being who they are and embracing who they are, but you're seeing them the way you are. You're not seeing them the way they are. So you might underneath that have your own wounds that you haven't healed through. So that's a really beautiful question. So I hope you got some value from that. So thank you for asking that question. How do you get clarity when you have a storm of conflicting thoughts going on in your head 24 hours? Beautiful question. So the way I would answer this is you can't control time. And like when people say, I need to manage my time better, what the fuck does that mean? Like, how do you slow the clock down and slow down time? Time's going to happen whether you like it or not. There's two things you have control over. One, your energy levels. Drink some shit, look after your health, sleep well, train well, get some sunlight, hang around good people, look after your energy. And number two is your planning, your priorities. What are you prioritizing? So for the beautiful woman that asked this question, is I would be looking at what's your plan. So this is the process I go with my clients. What are your values? I've already spoken about on that on this training, episode 200. Go do it. It's a free training. So what are your values? What's your purpose? What's your mission? What's your vision? So what does your life look like on your terms? What does an inspired life look like to you? Then we want to find a vehicle that's going to allow you to have that dream life. If you want to go from Australia to America, a car is probably not going to get you there unless it's a very, very fucking advanced car. You want the right vehicle that's going to allow you to get your vision. Now, for majority of people who want financial freedom, time freedom, a job probably isn't going to get you there unless it's a super, super high paid job. And then you can invest a lot into assets. And then you've got passive income coming through where you don't have to work. Or maybe you just love your job and you just want to do that for the rest of your life. That's cool. But for majority of people who don't love their job and they wouldn't do it if money wasn't a factor, you've got the wrong vehicle. You need to get something that can allow you to scale your income. So it might be a business, it might be network marketing, it might be assets, it might be investing, it might be real estate, whatever it may be. I'm not a fan of crypto, so we won't talk about that. So what is it that, what's your vehicle that's going to allow you to get to your vision? Then we break it down into a plan. What does your plan look like? What are you achieving in the next 5 to 10 years? That's the mission, which is derived from your purpose and derived from your values. Then what's your three-year goal? So what are you gonna do in the next 3 years? What are you doing the next 2 years? What are you doing the next 12 months? The next 3 months? The next month? The next week? And what are you doing today? Like literally as I'm filming this, if you can see my screen for people watching it, my handwriting's terrible, but my first one, film podcast. That's what I'm doing. Then I'm scheduling 4 podcasts. I'm filming 6 reels. And I'm creating a structure for a community group that I'm building. So this is my daily outcomes, which will lead to my weekly outcomes, to my monthly, to my quarterly, to my yearly, to my 2 years, to my 3 years, to my mission, to my vision as well. And that's how you do it. So you just have to have that plan. If you've got a lot of thoughts inside of your head, it's probably you've got a lot of unhealed, unprocessed things. This is the interesting thing that I find. If I was to cut my arm, do I need to tell my body and my arm to heal? No. We have an intelligence within all of us, within you, within me, within that tree outside of my room, that plant that's behind me that needs a bit of love. It's kind of dying. But there's intelligence that flows all around us. And it knows how to heal. And your mind is trying to heal all the time. And healing and balancing for me is the same thing. A trauma is an unbalanced perception. If anyone's familiar with Dr. John DeMartini's work, I'm a huge student of his. So you've got an imbalance in your mind. Think about this. Think about like you've had a huge argument with someone or something's gone horribly wrong. You just keep fucking trying to process it in your head and it's like noisy as fuck in your head. Your brain is trying to heal. Your brain is trying to fucking process and integrate and balance that those thoughts. But most people avoid that shit. They don't like listening to their own head because it's scary, because it's emotional, because there's unhealed shit that's going on within that. So you've just like got this like chaos in within your head, a lot of head noise, struggling to sleep at night. It's fucking head fog or mind fog. Maybe not the right term to use. So what I would invite you to do is to start process that stuff. Get a coach. It might be me, might be someone else. Do some meditation, do some journaling, do some stillness, sit with your thoughts more and start to actually process those thoughts and let those thoughts breathe a little bit more. So that was a big answer to your question. So I hope you got some value from that answer. I can't see any more questions from the live video. For anyone that's still on here live, ask any questions down below and I will answer your questions. Here's one more. What are signs in one's client relationship That one was abandonment childhood trauma. I'm not sure if you avoided that question that great, but what's a sign that someone's, what's a sign of abandonment, an abandonment wound that's showing up in a relationship? I think that's the question, so I'll roll with that. Please correct me if I've worded that wrong. So an abandonment wound. So if you've had pain around abandonment, then you're probably going to have a coping mechanism. This gets a little bit slippery, so this isn't a case-by-case scenario, but I'm just going to generalize right now. So whenever we have a trauma or a wound or a limitation, there's two ways you can express it. There's an active and a passive expression. Let's use an example of not being enough. So you failed a test. You weren't the more successful sibling. Someone told you you're not good enough. Someone told you you can't do this. Someone told you to stop thinking so big stay small, that you can't succeed, whatever it may be. Or someone's broken up with you. Someone's cheated on you. Someone didn't make you feel seen, heard, or loved, or whatever it may be. And you've come up with the decision and the meaning and the belief and the constraint that I am not enough. The passive expression of that is that you become someone who's not enough. You work an average job, you don't start that business, you don't start that podcast, you don't go on those dates, you don't put yourself out there, and you try to stay as small as you can because you want to show to yourself that you're not enough, because that's who you are, that's the identity that you have. Now, the active one, and this is actually quite interesting, I love working with clients like this because the transformation's really awesome. And not that the other ones aren't, but you get my point. Is say you have that same belief that you're not enough. The active expression of that is someone who is so fucking attached and desperate to achieve their goals, to have the wealth, to have the business, to have the status, to have all these accumulation of things to prove to the world and themselves that they are enough, because deep down they think that they're not. And that is a very fucking vicious cycle that a lot of entrepreneurs and a lot of high achievers fall into. They think their goals will make them feel whole. No, it fucking won't. It's an unquenchable thirst. I said that right. Unquenchable thirst. It's a void you can't fill because you're trying to fill it with the wrong thing. What you want to do is heal through that wound I'm using not good enough, so I'll come back to abandonment. You want to heal that wound and understand that you are abundant, you're limitless, you're divine fucking beings that we all are, and then live and operate out of that world and that reality. So to come back to the question about the abandonment trauma, I go on tangents if you haven't figured that out yet, guys. So especially live Q&A, whenever I do normal podcasts, I have like dot points I'm going through, I'm literally answering these live. So someone who has an abandonment trauma, they will have an active or a passive expression of that. The active one, I would say, would be very attached. They would be very attached to their partner. So they'll be very needy of their partner. That would be something like the partner who's always texting, hey, how are you? You haven't responded to me. What's going on? You haven't responded to me and blah, 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 blah. There might be something like that. And the abandonment, the passive expression of that might be someone who's just really disconnected. They don't want to commit too much because they're scared of being abandoned. So they're never really committing to deep, intimate relationships because they're scared of getting abandoned and getting hurt again. So they're probably two ways it can show up. So I thought that was a great answer, by the way. Do you guys like that answer? Beautiful. Done is free training. It's brilliant. Thank you so much. I love that. Beautiful. Any other questions on the live videos, guys? Just holler them down below. I can't see anyone. Keep your boundaries. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. What's your definition of success? I like Tony Robbins' definition, so I definitely subscribe to that. So he uses two things. He says the science of achievement and the art of fulfillment. So the science of achievement is like money, it's physical health, it's abundance, it's like having physical things that you can achieve. It's like very materialistic things like businesses and money and wealth and cars and going traveling or having whatever it may be. It's like very external things. The one that I probably spend most of my time with my clients is the art of fulfillment. It's actually having, kind of what I was talking about before, the entrepreneur who thinks they're not enough, so they're trying to achieve and achieve and achieve and achieve and achieve to prove to themselves and everyone else that they are enough. They're not actually clear on who they are. They don't know their values, their purpose, their mission, their vision. They haven't done the inner work. So it's integrating those two. And that's where I say I bridge and integrate the commercial and the spiritual together. That's a lot of the work that I do. It's taking... it's like, if you look at it's a bit of a spectrum. I have a laugh and giggle because I talk about this on some of my sales calls. It's like, you've got your business coaches or business mentors where they're very much systems, processes, marketing, sales, structure, KPIs. It's all very sort of black and white analytical thinking. And that's beautiful. You need that. You need structure. If you want success, you do need structure. But generally, these people are very burnt out, very unfulfilled, very chasing the mirage of success, which is a void that they can't fill. And then on the other side of the spectrum, you've got your spiritual healers. And they're the people that are wearing white robes, they're saging everywhere, they're meditating and levitating all day. But those people generally don't have much money to pay their bills. And for me, I think it's integrating the both. It's having the commercial side of you. Okay, what's your systems, your processes, how many leads are you generating, how are you making your sales, how are you scaling your business if you're in business or growing your career, progressing within your career. But it's also then having the fulfillment aspect of it. It's actually having clarity on what actually lights your fucking soul on fire, what gets you going, what inspires you, what fulfills you, your soul's purpose, your soul's calling, and then integrating those two together. So that's my long answer to success. How do I define success? How do you show your partner that you willing to show up and put in the work even when they feel like it's too late? Look, at the end of the day, it takes two to tango. Like, you got to want to work on your stuff and obviously communicate openly and vulnerably. Vulnerability is true strength, by the way. It takes true courage and strength to put the walls down and be vulnerable. And just communicate, I guess, where you're at, what you're working on, and where you're at. But you want to be detached. And this is a concept that I don't feel like a lot of people talk about enough, is when you're in a relationship, the worst thing that you can be is be attached to your partner. It's the worst fucking thing. Whatever you need in life will control you. So if you're needy of your partner, you're attached to your partner, you're not willing to walk away and leave your partner, if they treat you like shit, you'll put up with it. You won't set boundaries. You won't set consequences. You won't have the tough conversation. Now, some people think what I just said means don't love your partner. No. I love my partner. I'm in love with my partner. And we're engaged. We're getting married next year. We're going to have family together. But I'm also detached from her. I'm fucking whole in who I am. I have a fucking beautiful, abundant life with who I am without anyone. And then my partner and relationship and communion together, we elevate and grow together. But if she, again, I used this earlier in this podcast, if she just came home and started being this like horrible toxic person that I don't tolerate and I wouldn't be with, I would not hesitate to set boundaries. I would not hesitate to have a tough conversation, and vice versa as well. I've done things and she says, hey babe, I don't tolerate that. Don't do that again. I was like, oh shit. Okay. Thank you. And a healthy embodied man, masculine and feminine, respects that. Okay, they respect having your self-respect. So if you're getting treated like shit in relationship, it's because you're allowing it. Set those boundaries, okay? So to sort of answer that question is like, just work on you. Be the best version of you. Don't be needy of your relationship, and then you will attract the person who's ready for you. Well, I think these are fucking epic answers, by the way. Interesting angle. I don't have sound on. Sorry, my friend. I'm filming off a different camera. When you're in a relationship that you feel you have grown out of but afraid to change / leave because you have so much commitment in it, what exactly should be the next step? Kind of what I just said, make sure you've got that step done. You're whole and you're detached and you're willing to walk away. But just communicate and say, hey, look, like if you're growing apart naturally, like that's authentically where they want to go and this is authentically where you want to go, then you guys have grown apart and that's beautiful. And that's a beautiful thing to recognize and you can do it in a beautiful way. Or maybe your partner or you, well, it sounds like potentially your partner, you're growing and elevating and maybe they're not. And maybe there's like a block there. Maybe they're struggling with something. Maybe they're too scared to do some inner work or whatever it may be. And maybe it's just an open, courageous conversation to have with them about, hey, look, this is where I'm going, but I'm concerned about ABC, XYZ. Are you aware of that? And are you wanting to work through that? And I've had this with my partner a couple of times. Like, I'm huge into self-growth. It's like it's my second highest value. It's consciousness. I call it consciousness growth and expansion of consciousness. And she doesn't do as much growth as me, and I don't expect her to. I don't expect her to live within my values, to what I spoke about earlier on this podcast. But at the same time, a non-negotiable for me is my partner does grow and expand consistently. And there's been a couple of times in our relationship where she wasn't growing. She wasn't doing books or podcasts, or she wasn't attending events, or she wasn't working with healers or whatever it may be. And I just brought it to her attention. I said, hey, baby, it's just I'd love to check in and just connect with you and honestly just be really open with you about how I'm feeling and how we can both grow together in this relationship. how do you feel like we're going? What can I work on? What can I improve on? And I'd love to give you some honest feedback about how I think you're going and what you can improve on. And say, hey, look, this is a bit of, obviously, you know, we've had this conversation before. A non-negotiable for me is self-growth. And how's your self-growth been in the last 3-6 months? Non-existent. What do you want to do about that? It is a non-negotiable for me, but I'm here to support you and to love you and to challenge you to do this. Do you want to do this, or am I trying to jam a square peg in a round hole right now and we're just the wrong fit for each other? I have, and we have, this level of openness because we're both detached, we both love each other, and we're willing to have the open, honest conversations, and then we move forward together. And she says, yes, I want to. I've just had a bit of fear, a bit of blockages around this. How can you help me with it? I did a bit of coaching with her because obviously I'm a coach. But then I gave her some, we found some books that would really help her out that she's reading. There's some courses that she's signed up to. There's programs that she's doing to do the work on herself. So there's kind of two answers to that question. It's either you are just the wrong fit for each other and that's okay. Or it's like maybe you are the right fit, but maybe someone's got a block and they're just not sure how to work through that block. And that's where you can actually challenge them and support them to actually heal through that, okay? How do you show your partner that you're willing to show up? I feel like I've answered that one already, Kevin. I think you've commented twice. Beautiful. Any other questions on the live video, let me know. I think that's it now. Back to these questions that I've got pre-answered. I'll go for another 5 minutes because it's been going for a while now. How do I get more in touch with my feelings in the moment itself? Practice presence. Practice being in the moment. Like, we spend all of our time thinking about social media, about friends, about bills, about what people think about us, about our goals. And I'm all about planning. I spoke about a bit about planning on this podcast. But I'm probably guilty of not doing this that great, is actually practicing being aware, living in the present moment and being in touch with your feelings and your emotions and your nervous system and where you're at and living in this moment. You can do that through meditation. You can do that through journaling. You can do that through stillness. You can do that through breath work. Whatever it may be, it might be self-pleasure, which is a tantric sort of term of actually connecting and touching your body. It doesn't necessarily mean sexually, just energetically touching and feeling your body and your nervous system and giving it some love, giving it whatever it means. So whatever it needs, I should say. How to move on from my twin flame in separation and still be friends? I feel like I've answered that already through the questions I've already answered. So become whole, communicate it openly, and yeah, see if you are the right fit for each other or if you're just meant to be friends instead and be totally okay with it. Next question. How long should you wait to have the DTR? I'm not sure what that means. DTR. Does anyone know what DTR stands for? I'm going to do a quick little Google search. DTR meaning. That is define the relationship. Okay. So what are we essentially? So what are we? So look, it's up to you. It's intuitively, I don't have, I guess, a set number for that, but it depends what you're looking for. If you're looking, I was very upfront with my partner, with my now fiance, before we even started dating, but yeah, like I actually told her that I wasn't looking for a relationship because I had a lot of mental blocks and limitations around relationships and a lot of unhealed shit from my childhood. So I was pretty upfront that I didn't want anything serious. I was just looking for some fun because I'm on my mission. I'm building business and blah, 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 blah. But yeah, I was pretty transparent pretty much like after like the first time we hung out and we connected. So I do it pretty early on, in terms of what my expectations are. You don't have to say what are we necessarily, but more so this is my intention and this is what I'm kind of looking for in this phase of my life. And then maybe a month, 2 months, 6 months in, when you feel intuitively it's the right time. I think it's a very intuitive answer, that question. So yeah, I hope that answered. It probably wasn't too great of an answer. Attracting the perfect partner. I actually filmed a TikTok on this one and I've posted it yesterday, but two parts. It's number one, having clarity on what you want, what's your vision for your relationship, making sure you're not having unrealistic expectations and you're not expecting someone else to live within your values. And then second to that, so what is it that you want? Get clear on your non-negotiables, communication, intimacy, health, travel, finances. What's the non-negotiables for yours? Self-growth is one for me. And then the next part is become the person worthy of that. You attract people to match the frequency you're vibrating at. So if you want someone up here, but you're down here, then you got to work on your shit. You got to do some more inner healing until you're ready to attract the right person for you. Next question, being the partner you want to be and your partner deserves, I guess, subjectively to the person, who do you want to be? What does your partner deserve? And get clear on that. And then just whatever your deficit is, if you're missing skills, go learn those skills. If you've got unhealed shit, go do the healing work. So I guess it depends what you're wanting to work on and what the expectations are. I need to learn balance with life. So for me, balance is integrating what your values are into your life. So building a life based around your values and based around your purpose. Go do my free training, episode 200 of this podcast. Find your values out, schedule them into your calendar, and live to them. That for me is what balance is. I'm just going to have a... That's all the questions that I've had pre-asked. So I'm just going to have another quick scroll through. We all have different core values if we are aware of what they are aside from love lingos. Lol, it can totally help us. Know that our partner sees things, walk in someone else's shoes. Beautiful. And you, just so you know, to I guess mirror that comment, is you don't want your partner to have the same values as you, the exact same values as you. You don't want to date yourself. You don't want to. You want to have complementary opposites. So I don't have the highest value on image and aesthetics. Like I barely do my hair. I'm starting to now, but like I was very, very scruffy. Like I drive a very average car. And I don't put that much time into my appearance. I'm starting to take more self-respect and start to value it a little bit more. Where my partner does value very highly. She has beautiful, like I wear literally the same shit all the time. I have like 5 shirts, 4 of them are black. I've got a blue one. So I feel like the same shit I wear day in, day out. But my partner has like all these beautiful clothes, she puts a lot of time and effort into it because she has a higher value on that. But just by being in, I guess, proximity with each other, she helps me with my image. I'm better presented person just by being in a relationship with my partner. She's better with her learning and expanding because of me, because that's a high value that we've rubbed off on each other. So you don't want to have the exact same values. You want alignment with the ones that are non-negotiables with you, which for me, again, health, consciousness, that's kind of the non-negotiables for me. But yeah, I definitely agree with that. What is a block and how do you know you have one? We all have one. We all have them. Just so you know, we all have a block. And if you believe you don't, that's your first block that we can work through. It's just anything that's limiting. So if a belief like, excuse me, like I'm not enough, that's an obvious one. I can't do it. Success is hard. Money is evil. I'm inadequate. There's no good guys out there. I can't do this. I'm a loser. I'm unlovable. Life is scary. I'm worthless, whatever it may be. It's just any belief that is limiting in who you are and suppressing the full expression of who you are. And then you identify it and then you heal through it, whatever techniques you use. Thank you for live streaming. Thank you very much. Thank you for being here. I'm going to wrap that up. I hope you guys got value from this. This is probably the longest podcast I've filmed solo in a long time. Let me know if you enjoyed the Q&A style. Comment down below any questions as well for the next one. I'll do these regularly if you guys enjoy it. So comment down below in the comments if you enjoyed this. And if you did, what questions do you have for the next one that I do? Guys, thank you so much. I hope you've got value from these. Share this with a friend. It would mean so much to me. Subscribe as well if you haven't subscribed. Like the video. And in the link, I have a link for a free strategy call with me if you're wanting to heal and grow and do your work, find your purpose, create a life on your terms, heal through your stuff, build a thriving business, have a beautiful, thriving, intimate relationship, and have more fulfillment and success in your life. So go to the comments, go to the caption, go book in for that. If you're ready to do the work, you can drag a horse to water. You can't make a drink. I fucking love you guys. See you soon.